All right. So we are still in our relationship pillar. The title of our series is Sonship and the Holy Spirit. And we are on part three. We are on part three. The title of this series is Sonship and the Holy Spirit. Are you learning something in this series? Okay. The thing I love about this series is that, hallelujah, come on in, is that in times past, growing up, we learned and we heard a lot of different teachings about the Holy Spirit. And when you're dealing with the Spirit of Truth, it's going to teach in this manner: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? When we teach it religiously, we tend to teach the Son, the Holy Spirit, but we leave the Father out. Okay? And then all of our conversation becomes about demons and hell or going to heaven. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Truth. Amen? Now, truth by definition, look in your Greek, okay? It's the Greek word aletheia, is the Father's plan that he orchestrated through Christ. Amen? This is what truth is. Truth is the Father's plan that he orchestrated through Christ in regard to man. All right? I told someone one day, and I like to say things that provoke arguments. I told someone one day, I said, the Bible is not about Jesus. You know, I set him off with that one. I said, the Bible is not about Jesus. He said, what is the Bible about? I said, it's about us. It's about us. The Bible's not about Jesus. It's about us. He died for us. Come on. The Father sent him to die for us. The Bible said that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that he so loved the world. Now, if he didn't love the world, there's no need to do this. All right? If he don't love the world, there's no need to do this. But he so loved the world, which is those that opposed him, the system and the people that opposed him. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that anybody who would believe would not perish, but that, watch this, that he would get eternal relationship with us. It's about us. We keep leaving us out. We leave us out and we leave the Father out. This is how we get stuck in religion. And you leave here happy about Jesus, but sad about you. You know a lot about Jesus, but you know nothing about the fact that you are joint heir with him. He said, when the Spirit speaks, it's going to disclose everything that is mine to you. What have you been hearing? The spirit of religion does not disclose what is his to you. It prolongs you. You'll get it when you die. You'll get it one day. Just keep holding on, and the by and by, you'll get it. And you flustered, you frustrated. Why? Because you like J.G. Wentworth. I ain't got to say nothing. Y'all watch too much TV. You need your money now. You need it. The thing he came to give us, y'all, he wanted us to have it now. He wants us to have it now. We don't need riches later. Come on, we don't need wealth later, eh? We need power now. We need light now. We need to hear your voice now. We need to know you love us now. The Bible says now faith is the substance. Now it is. Jesus said a time is coming and is now. We're not prolonging this thing. What he wants to give you, he wants to give it to you right now. But the thing is, and the hindrance is us being able to wash ourselves of the religious spirit and be able to hear his voice. This is the issue. So when we're talking about sonship and the Holy Spirit, sonship is the ultimate expression of the relationship, all right? Sonship is the ultimate expression. Turn these monitors down a little bit. Is the ultimate expression of the relationship. So sonship is why the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of wisdom, it is why it speaks to us. Remember, he predestined us to conform to the image of his Son. He predestined that, which means the Spirit is going to carry out that agenda. If he predetermined it, the Spirit is going to carry out that agenda. Then the scripture lets us know that as many as are led by his Spirit, these are the mature sons of God. So he predestined it. The Spirit is going to carry it out so much that he's saying during your lifetime, I'm ranking or grading your maturity based on you being led by the Spirit. Then the scripture tells us that the creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So this is throughout our whole life. Us hearing the Spirit and being led by the Spirit because we are his children. Amen. Now, let's do a little teaching. I love to inform you, this is another fire starter, when I tell people that the Holy Spirit is not a word. Okay? Holy Spirit is not a word. If it is not a word, it is not a name. If it's not a name, it is not a person. Okay? Plus, Spirit is a neutral noun, which means it doesn't carry a gender. All right? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. We can go on and on with this. Okay? But first and foremost, you must know that this is the voice of your Father. First and foremost, you must understand that the Holy Spirit is the voice of your Father. Okay? A lot of times we don't pay attention to the protocols of Scripture. Jesus gets baptized. The Spirit descends on him. The next thing happens is a voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, and whom?" So if this happened to Jesus, say, "I'm a joint heir." So if it happened to Jesus like that, it should happen to you like that. Which means with the Holy Spirit comes his voice. It's not as if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and then, so if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, when is the Father? See, it becomes confusing. Jesus told his disciples, he says, when you get into predicaments and when they arrest you, he said, don't try to conjure up no conversation. He said, don't write none down to say. He said, at that time, the Spirit of your Father is going to speak through you. Now, the Spirit of your Father speaks through you because it first speaks what? To you. Okay? So you're not, Jesus said, the Father said. Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit said. That's us. That's what the church does now. The Spirit told me. The Holy Spirit told me. And what you're doing is you're abandoning a covenant. Because when you say that you heard the Father, you're saying you heard him as a child. When you say you heard the Lord, you're saying you heard him as a servant. Am I making sense? So if Jesus heard the Father, and then when Peter got a revelation, he said the Father told you that. He didn't say the Holy Spirit told you this. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the voice of the Father. How do I know that? Because he said, I will pour my spirit out. I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. And he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy after I pour my spirit out. You're going to have dreams and visions after I pour my spirit out. So we have excluded sonship from the Holy Spirit. Or we learned the Holy Spirit without first understanding the covenant that we have with the Father and without first understanding that we are children. We learned about the Holy Spirit before we learned we were children. I told you I had someone write me a letter, and they said, the Father told me to tell you this, the Son told me to tell you this, and the Holy Spirit told me to tell you this. Okay. Okay. All three of them had something different to say. You got schizophrenia. Anything speaking from heaven is speaking under the jurisdiction of our Father. Jesus said, I only say what the Father. Come on. Then he says we are ambassadors of Christ, which means he says what the Father says and we say what he said. So it's one voice. He said, you should all be saying the same thing. We should not have 45,000 different denominations. That's schizophrenia. I'd be an atheist too. I can't believe in all of them. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is not only the voice of the Father, but it is clothing. As we talked about last week in Luke 24:49, he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait till you be clothed with the power from on high. In Judges chapter 6, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. When the Spirit rested on Jesus, the Bible said it came upon him in bodily form. So the Holy Spirit is the voice of the Father. It is clothes. Okay, it is atmosphere, and it is also angels. Because the Bible said the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. Amen? Now, this is all one voice coming from heaven. And so next week, what we're going to do is we'll talk about the protocols of the baptism of the Spirit. Because Jesus never said he was going to give you the Holy Spirit. He said that he was going to baptize you in it. He says, I'm going to immerse you in the Spirit. I'm not going to give it to you. He said it will be with you, then it will be in you. That sounds like baptism. I'm going to place you in it, and then your soul is going to permeate it. When your soul permeates it, you're now hearing the Father. As your soul permeates it, it develops you in the stages of sonship. When Paul came to the church, when he came to Corinthians church in chapter 3, he told them that they were still infants, that they were not ready for meat. He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. What was he letting them know? That your soul had not developed to the place where I can actually speak spiritual things to you. He said, you are still carnal. You are babes in Christ. He says, why? He says that because there's still contention. Which means that your mind has not wrapped around the protocols of heaven and how the Father does a thing. It means you still have your own will. The mature Jesus said that he didn't have a will. Amen? Mature Jesus said he did not have a will. So, we're going to talk on today from Colossians chapter 1. We're going to do verse 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us. That's this is Paul talking to the Galatians, to the Colossian church. He said, giving thanks to the Father who qualified us. Who qualified us? The Father qualified us. The Son redeemed us, but the Father qualified us to be partakers. Amen. Participants of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, it says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So he's letting us know what the Father did for us. He delivered us. You don't need to be delivered again. We're not going to do to come to church every Sunday, get delivered. He has delivered us from the power of darkness or the domain of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. Now, this is where the conversation comes from, because I need you to understand when it says that he transferred us into the kingdom, he transferred us, he brought us into the kingdom. He translated us. He adopted us. He took us out of one domain and he brought us into another domain. So now what I need you to understand on today and what we're going to talk about is what it means to be in Christ. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to you because you are in Christ. Because he took you out the domain of darkness where you constantly heard Satan. Where you heard the world, where you attended to your flesh, and he translated us, he brought us out. And he brought us into the kingdom of his Son, or the domain of his Son. So now we are in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in the realm of sonship. This is what it means to be in Christ. It means you are in the realm of sonship. Now, Christ is a realm. That word kingdom in the Greek is the Greek word basileia, which means realm. So he translated us out the kingdom of darkness. He brought us out the kingdom of darkness, and he brought us into the realm of his Son. Now, the reason why he brought us into the realm of his Son is so we can hear as children. So in Christ is a realm, it's a dimension. When we're talking about a realm, we're talking about a world. We're talking about a dimension where a conversation is monopolized. So he brought us in Christ so that we could know and understand who we are in him. This is what Paul is doing. He's letting us know that you are delivered. You have been brought out of this kingdom. You have been brought out of one kingdom and you have been brought into another kingdom. You have been brought into this other kingdom so you can see. Because according to scriptures, when you were in the domain of darkness, you were blind. You did not see. You were separated from God. You were separated from the house of Israel. You were separated from the house of faith. That separation means that you could not even hear him or see him. The scripture says now that you are out of that kingdom, you are not only known by God, but you now know him. So in Christ is a realm. It is a dimension in which the conversation of sonship monopolizes it. So in Christ is a realm where we were rescued and translated to a position so that we could hear in the Spirit. This is the difference between Old Testament saints and New Testament. In the Old Testament, they could not hear. Hence, he gave them the law. He gave them the Ten Commandments, and he gave them the orders, ordinances, because they could not hear. because he could not speak directly to them. They needed Moses. So he spoke to Moses and Moses spoke to them. Say, not no more. Not anymore. Now you can hear him directly. She didn't know I was going to teach this. As a spiritual father, it is my job to teach you how to hear your heavenly father. I'm not a reverend. Okay, stop. My job is to make sure that you can hear the Father. So when I go home, you're not calling me. I'm sorry. I'm not Moses. I'm not Elijah. The job of the prophet is to teach you how to hear, how to see, how to interpret. But this only happens in Christ, which is where you were rescued and brought from. So understand this. Say, Christ is a dimension. Okay? It is a dimension, just like social media. When you're on Instagram, you're in that dimension. You hear and see whatever they want you to. When you're on TikTok, that is a dimension. That is a realm. Well, when you tune into that realm, you can stay scrolling for hours. And everything that they want you to know, see, and hear is right there. If you log out, you no longer hear it or see it. If you don't have an account, you can't get in it. So to be born again is to be brought into a dimension where you hear your Father. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, even when we were dead, it's not a physical death, it's a spiritual death. This is what happened with Adam. Adam got kicked out the garden because he couldn't hear. So even when we were dead in trespasses, it said God made us alive together with Christ. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been what? Saved. Now, it's a big argument going on right now. And it's on now Jesus is the wrong name. We should be saying Yeshua. But it's ignorance when you do not understand. Yeshua means God saves. Once Yeshua put on flesh, he became Savior. You with me? Yeshua outside of flesh is God saved. It's what he's going to do. It's a different divine tense. It's a different divine tense. Yeshua saves. He has not saved. He is not a savior. He is not a savior until he is born. And they named the baby Jesus. Why did they name him Jesus? Because he's going to save his people. So it's a divine tense. After he dies on the cross, he's salvation. Once you accept salvation, you're saved. By grace, you have been saved, which means the protocol of Yeshua leaving eternity and coming to heaven, taking on a body, and dying on the cross has accomplished. And it was done by grace. So now, you don't have to focus on Yeshua. You don't have to focus on the Savior because he's off the cross. Off the cross, the Savior is a kingmaker. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Now you have to learn how to rule and reign. And so you being saved is you participating with salvation. So they're arguing about Yeshua and the name, not even understanding. This weekend we just had my family reunion. Okay? And we were all there to represent the name. We were all there to represent one name. It says the name of Jesus, not the name Jesus. Christ is more of the name than Jesus is. It's Yeshua HaMashiach. God saves the anointed ones. Okay? Now you are in Christ. Why? Because you are an anointed one. So Yeshua was sent to save the anointed ones. I want my children. This is the mission. This is the mission. The mission is not come to church to get to know Jesus. The mission is understand why Jesus came. He came so that you could have access to the Father. The Bible said we have access to the Father by one Spirit. He wants you under in his shadow. He wants you under his wings. He gave us access to the Holy of Holies. The veil rent from the top to the bottom. You can now go in. Verse 6. So it says that he made us alive together with Christ. Then it says he raised us up together. And he made us sit together. Come on. It's like the Last Supper. We're at the table with him. He moved us into his realm. He said he made us to sit together in heavenly places. Your flesh here, your spirit not. Your flesh is here. Your spirit is not. Jesus went to the right hand of the Father, and when you were born again, he raised you up and made you alive and seated you right there with him. Y'all ain't happy about that. Don't take that casually. He moved you into another realm. He moved you out of darkness, and then he moved you into a realm where you are joint heirs with his Son. Everything that he has, you have. This is why he said, pray to your Father. He didn't say pray to him. This is why he said, worship your Father. He was letting you know, watch this. Where I'm going, you're going to be there too. So in Christ is a realm where we are made alive, we are raised up, and we are seated. You have to understand where you are right now. You have to understand the position that you have been placed in. Because the position brings responsibility. I want y'all to pray this week. I want you to pray in tongues like your life depends on it. Okay? Because you need to travel in the spirit. You need to leave earth, but you can only leave earth through prayer. You can only leave earth by spending time with him. The less you pray, the less you travel. The less you pray, the less you hear. Come on. The less you pray, the less you see. I don't want you to think you in Christ with no responsibility. Because you are an ambassador. An ambassador means you function in two different worlds at the same time. You function in the natural because you have a body, but your spirit functions in the spirit realm. Why? Because he moved me out of the domain of darkness. He didn't take me out the world. He took me out that domain, and he brought me into light, which means in Christ, he's going to reveal divine truth. He wants me to know everything about him. I'm going too fast. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Now, you don't think that way because you're looking at you. You're looking at your physical. But if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Because the Bible says he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So because you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The world has never seen you. They've seen your body before. They've seen your vessel. They've seen your physical man. But they have never seen the new man inside. That's something you have to know. Come on. That's something you have to be sure of. You have to be sure of what is in you and who you are because you have been born again. You can't let what other people see determine what's in you. Yeah, I still got some issues. Come on. I still got some problems. I still got stuff I'm working on. I just moved. I just moved into the realm. Now growth is me pulling myself out intentionally. This is what church is about. We moving out of the world and we moving into his household. Zay, do good to all men, but especially the household of faith. Where is the household of faith at? It ain't in the natural. Come on. It's not in the natural. He said, you do good to all men. Why? Because that's how the Father teaches you. You do good to all men. You know what all mean? All. Not some. Not the ones you like. Not the ones you approve or disapprove. All. Do good to all men. But especially my household. So there's a distinction. There's a distinction. There's a household of faith, and then there's those who are not in a household of faith. Nevertheless, do good to all them. So the scripture says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say in Christ. It says he is a new creation. You're a new creature. It says old things have passed away. Did you hear me? This is why Paul said, he said, if I don't do nothing else, I forget about the past and I press forward. He said, if I don't do nothing else, he said, I forgot about the old person I was. Come on, I'm trying to, this is deliverance if you want it. Stop worrying about the old you. Don't even worry about what you did yesterday. Don't even worry about what you did this morning. He said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because you have a new life. This is why Jesus said you got to lose one or you're going to lose the other. You got to make a decision. Either you're going to lose your physical to move into the spiritual or you're going to lose the spiritual. He said you have to make a decision. Now, in Christ, you're a new creation. I have a new life for you. Y'all ready? Okay, Colossians 3:1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ. Now, he told the Ephesians that. He told the Ephesians church, you are raised, you are made alive, and you are seated. He comes to the Colossians church. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, you were elevated. He says, seek those things which are above. That's just his way of saying, stop seeking earthly things. Let me tell you something about earthly things from experience. The more earthly stuff you have, the more distracted you get. The more earthly stuff you have, the more distracted you are. You got 5 cars, that's go. You got to clean them. You got to oil change them. Come on. This is taking time. And you can't pray because you got stuff to do. You want 3 houses? You want a big house? That's a big distraction. Something to fix now. I'm telling you. Our vacation is just getting away from the house. It's a distraction. Okay? Paul said, if you want to get married, he told him, he said, in this time, he said, I wouldn't get married. Why? It's a distraction. Because when you married, you have to tend to the world. You got to take her to the movies. You got to take her out to eat. Come on. You got to hang out. You got to tend to another person's needs. He said, if I was you, I wouldn't get married. Why? So you can focus. But more stuff. Don't give up on marriage. Now, I'm not that. This apostle ain't telling you that. He was telling that church that. Okay? Don't give up on marriage. I've been hearing that in the spirit, though. I'm telling you, don't give up on marriage. Trust me. The Father wants you to have. Don't give up. No, it's not too late. Nope, it's not. It's going to happen. Come on. It's going to happen. You just prepare yourself. That's it. Watch this. You prepare yourself so you won't be a distraction. Come on. But the more stuff you want more money, you want to be a millionaire? Do you know? Do you understand? A millionaire don't mean you have $1 million. A millionaire means you can consistently keep $1 million. Okay? A lot of times we're asking him for stuff and he knows it's a distraction. The best thing you can do is pray like you've lost your mind to show him, Dad, I'm on it. When he says seek first the kingdom, you know that's prayer. You know that's fasting. Do you know fasting comes with prayer and word time? Not only does fasting come with prayer and word time, fasting comes with changing your character. You can't be fasting and mad. You can't be fasting and angry. You can't be fasting and stingy. Come on. So fasting incorporates all of that. You can't be fasting and missing church. Come on. You can't be fasting and not get you. When you fast, you are killing your flesh. So I am intentional about being spiritual. All right, let's keep going. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Here we go again. Set your mind on things above, not on things. Set your mind. He's telling you where to put it. When you set it, it means, in the Greek, that word means to fix, to be fixed. I'm setting my mind right here and I'm leaving it. I'm not picking it up, putting it down. I'm setting my mind. Y'all got that. Verse 3. For you died. When did you die? When you were born again. That's why he pulled you out of the domain of darkness, because you were dead. You wanted to die. You didn't want that life no more. You said help. So he said you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. So your life is hidden in that realm. So this is why he said, don't set your mind on earth, because your life ain't hidden here. You can't find your life in stuff. I know you think if you had this, trust me. I know if you think you had more. More would be a distraction. Because more, sometimes more, now I want you to have as much as you can. My warning to you is, the more stuff you have, the less you look, you seek him. As you mature, even in the natural, you receive stuff. Come on. You give an eight-year-old child $1 million, not going back to school. You give somebody 14 years old, you give them $1 million, they dropping out of school. What do I need this for? Most of your prayers is about stuff. So he know if he give it to you, you won't need him no more because it's not about his kingdom. I'm helping you. If you hear me, I'm helping you. This is why the blessing that came with Solomon is Solomon knew what to ask for. In maturity, he said, give me a wise and discerning heart so I can rule over my assignment properly. That's what seeking first the kingdom of God look like. You want to ask for the thing that you don't have for the assignment. He said, because you didn't ask for long life, you didn't ask for your enemy's head, and you didn't ask me for money. He said, because you didn't ask me for those, and you asked me for wisdom, and I'm going to give you wisdom plus that. It was what you asked for. It was what you sought after that got you the other stuff. Don't seek the stuff. Seek the kingdom. Why? Because that's where you live. Because that's what you was born again into. So he said, seek to live from this realm. Don't seek this realm because in this realm it's a minimum wage. This is why Paul had to tell the church, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Hear me. He said, my God. He's telling you from experience. My God will supply. My God. I got a resume of me giving my life up and him giving me this stuff because of what I gave up. You're wasting your time praying, God, give me this. God, give me. Don't waste your time. The Bible says he know what you need before you ask him. You're wasting your time. Just seek your will, Father. What is your will? With his will comes everything else. He know what you need. He know you need a job. Come. You don't think he know that? That is insulting. God, give me a job. Well, I really didn't see that coming. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He has blessed you. He has blessed us. Say us. That's everybody. He has blessed us with every. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. What slows the blessing down is you don't want to get it in Christ. You don't want to access it from his realm. You want to access it from this realm. This is what hinders the blessing. To be blessed is just to have favor. Your favor opens doors for you when you focus on his kingdom, when you focus on his will. Jesus just didn't say these things for no reason. How is he our Lord? By what he said and what he did. My meat and drink is to do the will of the Father. I know where my blessings come from. So I can pray over a little boy lunch and I can feed 5,000 people. It's about where I live from. He took the boys all the way out to the wilderness. The scriptures let us know it was a 3-day journey. So even if they went and got food, by the time they got back, it wouldn't have been no good. He did this on purpose. He's teaching them to stop trusting in this realm. He's training them this. He's training them to not trust this realm. You need money for taxes. Go fishing. It don't make sense. I know. But he's functioning from another realm. See, you got to actually believe the Bible you read. You got to stop reading something. Oh, that was Jesus. No, it's an invitation to his life. You are a joint heir. You can walk on water too if you're that mature. You can walk on water too if you can trust him. This is bigger than paying bills. You messed this one up. No, just. He's teaching them. This is why he said, when you pray. This is why he said, when you fast. This is why he said, when you give. He's letting you know you have to do this part. This is why Paul said, when y'all gather. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. He chose us in him. He made a decision that we would be in him. We would live from his realm. We would live from his word. We would live from his voice. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's assurance. All right, let's keep moving. 1 Corinthians 2:14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what is this saying? They can't tap into it. This is realm to realm. He said people who function from the natural realm cannot receive things from the spirit realm. He said, as long as you will not leave the spirit realm by prayer, by the word, by the baptism of the spirit, he says, you will not pick up what I am saying. Do you know that carnality kills your ear? This ain't popular. You can't hear because you don't spend enough time there. And sometimes it may seem like the more we preach prayer, you feel like we're taking your life from you. I got to spend all this time praying. Well, do you want to access your blessings? You want that job? You got to spend all that time in school. Ken, you got an MBA? She has an MBA. You can't even count the number of tests that you had to take from your birth to the MBA. You can't even count them. But it was coming back to back to back study. Back to back, another quiz, another test, another exam. You graduate. Same thing in the spirit. Same thing in the spirit. I'm cool on y'all claps. I see y'all ain't cool. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So meaning, if I'm going to hear from him, I have to live there. I can't live in the natural and hear in the spirit. I have to live in the spirit and function in the natural. Verse 15, it says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So when you are spiritual, you cannot be judged by carnal people. But you can judge them. Why? Because you see from both realms. You see what is going on in the natural. You see what is going on in the natural, but you understand that what is going on in the natural has spiritual implications. You're not looking at the natural and panicking because of the natural. I don't care what they say in the White House. The Bible says all power has been given unto Jesus in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth. It says every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So no matter what I hear, my thought process is there. I don't care what the news say. I don't care what the president say. I don't care what the prime minister say. I don't care what they talk about nuclear weapons. If you spiritual, you know that's a promotion. Death is a promotion. Verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Because in order to function in that realm, you need his mind. You can't function in the kingdom of God with your mind. It never makes sense. So it don't matter how much you say you saved, you still can't hear. It don't matter how much you said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The next thing you need to be doing is praying. It don't matter that you said that. It mattered that after you said that, what did you do? You cannot sit at home in front of the TV and hear in the spirit. Okay. Y'all want me to close? You can't not pray and then expect to hear. The Bible says that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. It says that the word became flesh. Do you know that this is an attack on your soul? The word has to attack the carnal nature of your soul in order to change it. So you can see and hear. That's why he says if you are born again, you can see. He says, but if you are born of the water and the spirit, you can enter. This is why he said about wives, he said, husbands, wash your wife with the water of the word. Wash her soul with the water of the word. She say this, you say scripture. Come on. It said washer. Because women are a prime target of Satan. They are a prime target. Why? Because you're more emotional than anything. And that ain't bad. That's why y'all so emotional, because you love well. Okay? So he said to wash her with the water of the word. This is why he didn't say, wives, love your husbands. He didn't have to say it. He knew what he built in you. Just a flirt. Ain't I? He said, husbands, love. Because he knew I made you the head, I put you on the assignment, and when the things are not going right, you have a tendency to withdraw. Okay. So your mind must be washed with the water of the word. So if he said that about husbands to wives, then he was speaking about him to the church. Why is he washing our soul, so we could be spiritual? Amen? All right, here we go. Romans 8:1-2. It says, There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So there is condemnation if you are not. That's why it says, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So there is condemnation if you are in the flesh. Why? Because you said you gave your life to one, but you're walking in the other. So you're condemning yourself. Verse 2, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So in Christ, it's a new law. You're not under the Ten Commandments. You're not held by the Torah. In Christ, there is a law of the Spirit of life, which is says, now I function and I operate under his name. That's the law. Because you are now in a household. So there is no law in which we can seek Ten Commandments. The law now becomes you. Whatever you say, do in word or deed, you do it in his name. That is the new law. That is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. It's sonship. You have to now do as he did. This is why he said, follow me. Come on. This is why he said, learn of me. Come on. This is why he showed you him in the temple, sitting, listening, and asking questions. This is why the scripture told you, although he was a son, he learned. And every time he opened his mouth, he said, I only do what my father tell me. I function under his name. So the Bible said that when the baby was named, they named the baby Jesus. But then in Philippians, it lets us know that because of the humility he walked in, that he was given a name that was above every name. So if they named him Jesus, then they give him a name that's above every name. Okay. This is about the law of his household. And in a household, we don't have laws. You got laws in your house? Just your name. Whatever Nesbitt does, that's how y'all act. The law in my name is whatever dad says. They go to school, do something they're not supposed to. What did I? Why are you in trouble? Because I told you to do it this way and you did. I didn't give you a specific law. You just know daddy wouldn't do it that way. And that's how Christians are supposed to live. That's how children of God are supposed to live. My father would not do that. This is why Jesus said, they do evil to you, you do good. So in the event someone does evil to you and you do evil back, you are the wrong one. Not the one who did evil to you. She rolled her eyes. Why? Because he's already told you, this is what my name represents. My name represents holiness. Come on, my name represents purity. That's my law. You stay holy. The Bible says those who call on the name of the Lord abstain themselves from sin. They purify themselves. Why? Because we function in under his name. We're no longer functioning under our family surname. We're now functioning under his household. And this is why the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The reason why Moses had to go up that mountain and get them laws is because they couldn't hear him. Because they could not hear. Now you can hear. In Galatians, you can write this down. In Galatians 23 through 25, it said, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. I'm going to read that again. Galatians 3:23-25. It says, but before faith, now, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. Now, watch this. It says, by faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So everything that we see came from what we can't see. Y'all with me? So faith is me believing in what I can't see. Faith is me understanding this realm, the spirit realm created the natural realm. Yeah, y'all got that? Okay, I'm going to say it again in a different way. Faith is me understanding that focusing on the natural realm could never get me anything in the spirit. You can cry till your eyes fall out your face. If you are not complying with the spirit realm, it's not going to happen. You can beg, you can plead. If you are not complying with the spirit realm, it won't happen. Things don't happen because you cry. Things don't happen because you get sad. Things don't happen because you get down. Things don't even happen because he see you need it. Things happen because you are on one accord with him. Because you are, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Come on. The Bible says, walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Walk by the spirit realm, not by the natural. So whatever you see with your eyes is lying to you. Can we live there? Whatever you see with your physical eyes is lying to you. Watch this. Until you get a prompt from the spirit. The spirit tells you the truth about what's going on in the situation. So he's telling you that without faith, it's impossible, come on, to please me. For those who come to me must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. So nothing just happens by chance. It happens by faith. It don't matter how bad you want it. It's what are you seeking? Y'all with me? So it says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Okay, verse 24 says, therefore, the law was our tutor. Okay? It says the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. The law was a tutor. It was just schooling you to what's right and wrong until Christ came. Because in the Old Testament, they didn't have a divine nature. So the Spirit of God is different when you have a divine nature. The reason why we can hear is because of our nature. Because you are in Christ. You are born again. When you are born again, it said you can now see. In the spirit realm, seeing and hearing is the same thing. So the law was a tutor. It was just letting you know that's wrong. Don't do that. That's what the law was. It was letting you carnal. It was letting you know where you were in the situation. But it was a tutor until Christ came. Once Christ came, the divine nature came, and now you have to live by the spirit realm. Walk in the spirit. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Live in the spirit. So if your flesh is killing you, you know why? You're not walking in the spirit. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It says, but after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. Once we now have access to the spirit realm, we don't need 10 commandments. You heard your father tell you that was wrong. You got the unction, everything. You got prophesied to. That's the importance of church, the body. It takes a body to create culture. The scripture says we should all be saying the same thing. Why are you saying something different? The scripture said we should have one heart. Why your heart different? The Bible said put other people before you. You didn't hear that? This is what maturity looks like, because you don't always hear it. You don't always hear that. When you are an infant, when you are a Patreon, you hear me, 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 I, my. Why are they always doing me like that? By the time you mature, you're going to be like, why not me? Why not me? Maybe he chose me because I'm strong. Maybe he's seen Gideon in me. He's seen a valiant man. He's seen a warrior. So he said, you're going to go through this. But when you were a child, you cried, Jesus, well, why I got to go on the cross? Because you're the only son. No, but when you mature, watch this. Peter, Jesus. How many times do I have to forgive in a day? 7 times? You would think that's good. Mature son, 7 times 70. Now, when it's time to forgive, do you think about 490? The scriptures let you know where you are. Y'all Catholic in here? The scriptures let you know where you are. Y'all had a long week, didn't y'all? I'm just looking at people's face. Okay. Let's get back to it. Last scriptures. John 16 and 13. Now, the purpose of this series is so you can understand that the reason why the Spirit speaks to you is because you're God's child. Okay? That's the only reason why the Spirit want to talk to you. Now, what happens in the body of Christ often is that we think the gifts is his voice. Okay? We think the gifts is his voice. So if I have a prophetic gift, I think that's his voice. The Bible says gifts and callings come without repentance. You have a gift of teaching. You look in the scriptures and you just see stuff. That ain't him. Gifts and callings come without repentance. He gave you that gift. A gift is something you can have, and he's not going to take it away. Neither is he going to. I'm looking for a certain word. Y'all help me. Neither is he. He's not going to take it away from you. He's not going to disturb it. He's not going to interrupt it. Okay? He gave you the gift. That's why you have mediums. They see just like prophets. That's a prophetic gift. Okay? And he's not going to stop them from doing tarot cards. They really see the stuff that some of them. Call me later. No, it's okay. You remember Miss Cleo? They really see in the spirit. They can really tell you. See, people don't read their Bible. Do you know that Saul went to the witch of Endor? Come on. You ain't reading your Bible. How many of y'all can finish the story? Raise your hand if you can finish the story, what I'm about to tell you. Saul goes to the witch of Endor and asks him to raise Saul from the dead. Samuel, thank you, sir. So Saul goes to the witch of Endor because he got a word that he didn't agree with. He said, I need you to resurrect the prophet. The witch of Endor raises Samuel from the dead so he can talk to Saul. But you don't think that they can really do it. You think they faking. They not faking. They talking to your ancestors. Yeah, they not faking that. It's just demonic. They're not faking. You don't think it's real. It's extremely real. It's just on the demonic side. You ain't the only one who can raise somebody from the dead. Come on. Aaron, Moses threw the staff down. They threw theirs down too. They turned the snakes just like them. Power is just not on the natural, on the spiritual side in the kingdom of God. It's in the kingdom of darkness. They have a power. They can do miracles, signs, and wonders too. Read Revelation 13. That's how most people are going to be deceived. That's why Jesus said a wicked generation is seeking a sign. He said, but the only sign y'all going to get from me is I'm going to die, be buried. 3 days later, I'm going to be raised. That's the only sign you're going to get from me. So the purpose of this series is so you can understand that the only reason why the Holy Spirit speaks to you is because you are a child of God. But you must understand this too. Other spirits can talk to you. And if you're not participating in sonship, it could be any spirit. That's why I say it's a difference between the spirit of religion. It uses the Bible, but it never tells the truth. Satan tried it on Jesus. He said, come on. He says, jump down. He said, he's going to save you, bro. He said, the angels will not let you dash your foot on a stone. Come on. So you have to participate. You must know who you are. If you don't know you are a child of God and you are participating in that thing, you could be praying to anything. Satan is a father too. He's just a father of lies. Watch this. And lies come in what you just believe in what you want to. You want it that bad. You're going to believe it. You heard the Father. You ignored it. So another voice kept talking. It's for you. It's your time. So the reason why the Holy Spirit speaks to you, the Spirit of the God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, is because you are a child of God. Amen? So Jesus said this. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. What is truth? It is the execution of the Father's plan through Christ for mankind. The Spirit is going to bear witness with your spirit that you are God's child, that you belong to him, that you are offspring, that he is yours. He said, for he would not speak on his own authority, doesn't you know, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Now, this is everything I just read you for being in Christ. All the scriptures I just told you, just showed you what the Holy Spirit is going to give you. How it's going to work with you because of you are in Christ, because you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't just talk. The Holy Spirit is not just worried about your job status. It's not just worried about you getting the things you want in life. The Holy Spirit has an assignment. Verse 15. It says, all things that the Father has are mine. It says, therefore I said, that he would take of mine and he would declare it to you. Why is he declaring it to you? Because you are in Christ. Not only because you are in Christ, because you are participating in it. The scripture said what? Your life is hid there. So you got no choice but to seek. You have no choice but to ask. But in Christ is a realm. And in that realm, the Spirit is letting you know who you are in Abba. This is why Paul said, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. So you are in Christ, but now it needs to be formed in you. Well, how does that look? Your mind. You need the mind of Christ. Come on. Your will. Your will need to be given to the Father. If the Father does not have your will, you are not in Christ. Or you are not mature in Christ. Then you have to have a heart for the kingdom. The heart always reveals what you seek. Your passions. What are you passionate about? Is it prayer? Oop. Come on. What are you passionate about? Is it the word? What do you desire? Is it to hear his voice? Or is it applause from other people? This is why Jesus told the people. This is why he told the Pharisees. He said, don't be like them. He said, when they pray, they get in front of everybody and do it. Why? Because they want rewards from men. You got to lose that. You got to lose this thing of wanting to be seen by people. You got to lose this thing about wanting people to clap for you. You have to lose that. And he's not going, you will hear him correctly when you don't care about what everybody else thinks. I'm not talking about immature. I don't care what nobody says. I ain't talking about that type. We're talking about you don't care what people say, but you care about being a light. Okay? You don't care what people say, but you care about representing the Father. And so you are in Christ by being born again. But now, Paul said, I labor with you. He said, I'm in pain because it's tough. Because you get a little Christ in you, you want to preach. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. You get a little Christ in you, you want to run the church. You get a little Christ in you, nobody wants to mature and grow. Everybody wants to show up the first day. Look, Jesus, 18 years given his assignment. Paul, 15 years given his assignment. It takes time. It takes time. The Bible said, Christ in you is, come on, finish it, the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So the only way for him to manifest his glory and get his glory from you is Christ must get in you. Which means what? You must have the mind of Christ. How do I get the mind of Christ? Come on, give it to me. Come on, studying the word. Come on. Releasing your will, prayer. Come on, fasting. So he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. This is the earnest expectation of eternal salvation. That's what that word hope means. Look it up in the Greek. Hope is the eternal expectation of salvation. He said, salvation is complete when Christ is in you. Not when you're in Christ, but when Christ is in you. I can use you when Christ is in you, not when you just in Christ. And the church is stuck in Christ. And they don't want Christ in them, so they always in a crisis. Okay? And the answer to every crisis is Christ in you. That's the hope of glory, which means also this is what the Father wants to see. The scriptures talk about us being the praise of his glory, which means when he looks down and he sees his children, he wants to see, like he said, I predestined y'all to conform to the image of my son. So y'all, he could be the firstborn of many. Of many. So we can't be satisfied as saved. We can't be satisfied and say we have to be satisfied in sonship. Am I maturing? Not nobody else. We got to look at nobody else. All you got to do is look at you. Okay. One more thing. Now, in Christ, I have to tell you this. In Christ, hell is not part of the equation. Y'all with me? In Christ, hell is not a part of the equation. The white throne judgment is for those who are not in Christ. You get to go to hell because you didn't want to be God's child. That's why he said, when the Spirit speaks to the world, it'll speak about sin, righteousness, and judgment. He said, judgment because the evil one has to be judged. So either Abba's your father or Satan's your father. How can we tell? The apple don't fall too far from the tree. How can we tell? Obedience. How can we tell? What do you learn that? When it talks about the sons of disobedience and the sons of obedience, that's the Greek word technon. That is the learned stage. So if you don't know your father, then it might be because he's not your father. That's why what we're going to start doing on Thursdays, we're going to do the school of prayer, but we're going to come in here and I'm a test y'all. I'm a quiz y'all. I need to know you know sonship. Here, Janasia, teach it. I need to know you understand practice righteousness, Marcus. Here, I want you to teach it. Tell us all five stages of sonship. Tell us all of what practicing righteousness is, and then show us, give me scripture. I don't want you to go to the Bible. You should know it by now. Because if you don't know it, you're not living it. If you don't know it, you're not living it. If you can't grab this mic right now and tell me what salvation is without the Bible, you're not in salvation. How you gonna be in something you don't know? Y'all not gonna invite me back. How can you be participating in something you're ignorant of? So the scripture says, study to show yourself approved. To who? Not to me. To that realm. You have to study to show yourself approved to that realm. Why? Because you asking? Because you expecting? So you have to study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here, take the mic. Rightly divide for me. The Bible said, be prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. The Bible says you are a living epistle known and read of all men. So in Christ is a realm in the spirit that you're supposed to be living in. Scripture said what? My life is hidden there. It's concealed. Everything that you are and you're supposed to be is hid in him. If you don't pray, you'll never know. What did he call me to do? Pray. Seek his face. You'll be shocked and surprised. It ain't got nothing to do with the job. It ain't got nothing to do with the career. Maybe he wants you to own the business. Come on, nobody in here has a small destiny. There's no little destinies. There's no destinies in Abba where you broke. Come on, there's no destiny in Abba where you barely getting by. What we don't have is because what we don't know. Amen. Okay, I was going to pray, but this angling church. So I'm going to say this again, though, before I walk off, is in Christ, hell is not a part of the equation. Okay? But you must participate in sonship. You must. Okay? The Bible lets us know the seed is imperishable, but you must participate.